Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
States worked since Harry Truman to get the Affordable Care Act passed. We finally have a path to universal health care. We've accomplished so much already. I do not want to see the Republicans repeal it, and I don't want to see us start over again with a contentious debate. I want us to defend and build on the Affordable Care Act and improve it.
When I'm president of the United States, we are going to win this war on ISIS. The most powerful intelligence agency in the world is going to tell us where they are. The most powerful military in the world is going to destroy them. And if we capture any of them alive, they are getting a one-way ticket to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and we are going to find out everything they know.
I want security for this country, okay? I want to find out why those two young people, those two horrible young people in California, when they shot the 14 people, killed them. People they knew, people that held a wedding reception for them. Many people saw pipe bombs and all sorts of things all over their apartment. Why weren't they vigilant? Why didn't they call? Why didn't they call the police? And by the way, the police are the most mistreated people in this country. I will tell you that.
Today, many of us picked up our newspapers, and we were horrified to see the sight of 10 American sailors on their knees with their hands on their head. In that State of the Union, President Obama didn't so much as mention the 10 sailors that had been captured by Iran. President Obama is preparing to send $100 billion or more to the Ayatollah Khamenei. And I'll tell you, it was heartbreaking. But the good news is, the next commander-in-chief is standing on this stage. And I give you my word, if I am elected president, no serviceman or servicewoman will be forced to be on their knees, and any nation that captures our fighting men and women will feel the full force and fury of the United States of America. God bless the
One year from now, we are going to, well, the United States is going to have a brand new president. They're going to be sworn into office 1 year from now. You heard some sound bites right there from probably the top five candidates right there on both sides. And one of those five arguably is going to be the next president of the United States. You heard what they had to say about health care, security, this nation. Their divisions are quite extreme, both on the left and the right, and what they believe in and what they want to accomplish, socialists and conservatives. So you got to hear a little bit from each one of them. The thing that you need to do during the course of the next year is really pay attention to what is going on and what they are all talking about and standing for, because they are coming out more and more, telling you more and more what they believe in and what they want to do. It is Friday. It is my favorite day of the week, our favorite day of the week. And with me, as always, my good friend on my right, Andrew Wolburn. Buddy, how are you today, pal?
Doing great, as always, here on a Friday up here in Northeastern California. And, you know, you did a great job, man. You listed a lot of the candidates, as you mentioned, and some of their points of view. They're differentiating themselves. And it's interesting, however, you did leave one out that I'm not going to say is out of the race. We didn't hear Jeb Bush there.
No, you didn't.
We're going to talk about Jeb Bush because there's some interesting numbers that are coming out that people are not paying attention to. But I guarantee you, the Jeb Bush campaign they are paying attention to some of the numbers that are beginning to evolve, folks. And like we said, man, every ideology is represented on those stages today. We've got communists, we got socialists, we've got liberals, we got conservatives, we got progressives, we got libertarians. You know, it's a great moment for America right now because every ideology is represented up there, folks. And so we have to decide which ideology we want to embrace for America's future. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Of course, we're podcasting where America's voice is heard on iTunes, Tim.
Andrew, I couldn't have said it any better, and it's an exciting time. Every 2 or 4 years, we here in the United States get to choose who we would like. You know, we go out there and we vote who we'd like to run our government with our views. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. It's not like North Korea where you have Kim Jong-un, he's going to be there for life or until he dies or passes away. We're going to have Vladimir Putin, who might leave for a minute and then come right back again and rule with a heavy hand, although his people like him over there. But we here in the United States, the greatest country in the world, get to choose who we want our elected officials. And that is the greatest thing that we get to do, and I look forward to that every election cycle. And like I said, Andrew, 1 year from now, probably one of those five up there, throw Jeb Bush in there as well, one of those six is going to be the next commander-in-chief. And what a different group it is. Straight socialist with Bernie Sanders, businessman, New York attitude, Donald Trump, and everything in between.
Well, you know, we're heading for a two-man race for the Republicans. And folks, believe it or not, I don't know if the two men that we are thinking are going to be in that race. It's awesome as a political scientist, I have to tell you. This is what makes it fun for me, guys, is we began to watch. Here we are 2 weeks out. We've had this long, drawn-out, year-long campaign, and this is why they always talk about, you know, 6 months is a lifetime in politics. The numbers are beginning to shape up. And I have to tell you, it's interesting to watch the strategic approaches from the campaigns because of how they are shaping up. And I don't think that we are noticing, but I guarantee the professionals that are running these campaigns are noticing an incredible voting trend on the national level. And of course, Iowa, I gotta tell you, as a Republican, I don't know if I want to win Iowa because it's been the kiss of death for most candidates. Iowa has not gotten it right in so long. So the New Hampshire, of course, South Carolina, Florida, and Nevada going into Super Tuesday, that is where you want to be. And of course, there are some candidates that are positioned great. And I have to tell you, Jeb Bush is positioned great right now, surprisingly. I was getting ready to write him off a couple weeks ago, but folks, I have to tell you, this is what makes the campaign season so exciting for me on a personal level as a political scientist looking at it. It's great to watch.
You're seeing some numbers that I guess, you know, I haven't seen. I know you go very much in depth and you check out everything and you research like it's the thing to do. You live for this and you do. And I'm excited to hear about those numbers and what you're talking about because on the national level, I just really haven't seen it. Now, on the Democrats, boy, they're having Hillary Clinton's campaign. I don't know if you caught Bill Clinton out there trumping for her, but boy, could it have been any worse to have him up. Was he awake? I was just like, I don't know what he was talking about.
But look, first of all, back to those numbers, then we'll get to Bill. Yeah. Look, those numbers are right in front of you, Tim. The numbers that I'm referring to are right in front of us, folks. It's right there. Everybody's seeing it. And of course, let's talk about Bill Clinton. Good Lord, man. I think Bill Clinton would be, I would not want him to be out stumping for me.
No.
I mean, look, folks, when you look at Bill Clinton's record, since he's left office as far as stumping for candidates and working for candidates. I mean, you know, the Democrats that he supports, you know, traditionally lose those races, especially when they're close. So, you know, lots to talk about on the bottom part of this show. And I got to tell you, man, these numbers are adding up, folks. And
I'm excited to hear those numbers and see how they're adding up because that new math or old math, I can hardly wait to hear it, buddy.
It's the numbers right in front of you, folks. You don't have to be a genius to look at it. You just got to be able to understand it.
All right.
Okay, folks, time for something you should know you don't know. Maybe you don't want to know, but you're going to know that right now. On today's date in history, the year is 1941. It was unfortunately the first mass killing of Jews in Romania. Man, terrible,
man.
Terrible. 1941 also, the British Australian troops captured Tobruk from the Italians. Boy, I have to tell you, great moments in history for us. 1945, a heavy U.S. air raids began on Okinawa, Japan. Of course, that is leading up to the end of the war. 1946, United States President sets up the Central Intelligence Agency for the first time, which has evolved into what we know now.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, podcasting live on iTunes and heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can catch us over there as well. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. 257-TALK, if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-866-882-1277. Our favorite day of the week, man, I can hardly wait to hear those numbers on our favorite day of the week, Friday, here on the 503 Report.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you very much, Stan, and welcome back, everybody. The best time of the year on our favorite day of the week. It is Friday. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Yes, it's lining up, folks. You know, we're just a couple weeks out, and of course here, real soon, we're going to know what direction that the nation wants to go. And as we talk about all the time on the show, this is the first time, I think, in our history where we've got open candidates who are running on open platforms. We have communists, we got socialists, we got liberals, we got progressives, we got conservatives, we got libertarians. The only ones that is missing right now, folks, are anarchists, and it's questionable as far as some of the viewpoints that some of those candidates are incorporating, maybe a little anarchist also. So look, as a guy, a political science guy, it's exciting to watch. And hopefully everybody is getting excited as we are, because it's coming down to the wire, folks. And let me tell you something, every front runner candidate on both sides, they are differentiating themselves and they're starting to establish their position. So watch out, folks. Let's get busy with it. Let's talk about it. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And of course, we are podcasting on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
It is really an exciting time of the year. We are only a couple of weeks away from the caucus, because you talked about Iowa and New Hampshire, but really look into Super Tuesday when it goes across the left and the west, the East Coast and the West Coast, to be combined into that, maybe get more of a little bit of a picture what America is thinking coming up on that day. But man, we are right around the corner, and we've been talking about this for a while, and it's almost here.
Well, first of all, I want to welcome some new listeners, man, that are downloading us and subscribing to our show on iTunes. Thank you very much. And folks, it's very simple to do. All you have to do is have an iPhone, Apple iPhone, and of course your iPad. You can just subscribe directly straight to iTunes, 503 Report. It pops up simply and easily. And of course, if you've got an Android like I do, you know, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, because here we are, we're talking about apples. But I use Podcast Addict as for your Android.
Exactly.
And it's very simple, folks, to subscribe to us. So you can catch us not only in the rebroadcast, but you can catch us as we post the shows. And we try to get them up as quick as possible. So once again, thank you to the expanding audience out there on iTunes. You know, Tim, we're talking about what's happening at the federal level. Before we get there, man, let's talk about some of the stuff that's happening out here in California.
All right.
You know, we see that California's unemployment rate is at 5.8%, despite 60,000 non-farm jobs, they say, are being created out here in California. You know, I mean, that's a huge number, folks. I mean, we're looking at 5.8% of 40 million people and growing. You know, that number is staggering. And, you know, of course, with Governor Jerry Brown's budgetary address he just did this week, and that's why he's cautioning what he's cautioning with his $170 billion spending plan. He understands that, you know, the economy is fragile, regardless of some of the spin that a lot of the individuals are trying to put out there as far as California's economic future.
Andrew, a big topic in amongst that also, of course, is the expiration of those taxes coming up, Prop 30, on there as well. And Governor Brown has been kind of mysteriously, he just staying away. He was a proponent for that, but he said they need to expire. But $170 billion is a lot of money, and a lot of people are asking for more money as well.
Well, we talk about how, and we're going to expose this, folks. I mean, this is something that's questionable as far as how the governor could put tax increases, fees, and increases on your vehicles at $65 a pop, and other taxes in order to raise billions and billions of dollars. You know, I mean, it just frustrates me that we're not picking up on that out here on the West Coast, and we're not holding these guys accountable for the false numbers that they're putting out there. And even some of the Republicans, they're starting to drink that Kool-Aid, as we say, when they're talking about the unprecedented amounts of revenue that are coming into the budget. budget. And you know, at some point, someone is going to have to start reading this thing other than us up here.
Andrew, like the president, does the governor have that executive order, that pen that he can do like what president does as well?
You know, the governor has got all kinds of statutory power, and he can make those decisions, but usually it's better to negotiate that. But, you know, we do have a call on the line. Welcome to 503 Report. How you doing today, sir? Is this Mr. Nilo?
How did you know?
You know, it's kind of ironic. You know, I don't know. I mean, we just have got the ability to kind of figure out who is going to be on the air today. How you doing today, sir? We're on the air with the 503 Report. Mr. Roger Kneeler, former California State Assemblyman, former president of the Sacramento Metro Chamber of Commerce. Sir, how you doing? Welcome to our show today.
Well, that's an awful lot of formers, Andrew.
You know, I guess that's a measure of your greatness in life if you can have former set up as you move along.
That all depends, I suppose, on how you became former, but compliments. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Well, first of all, we appreciate you coming on and joining us with a little bit of political talk. And our first question to you is going to be, have you been following some of the political debate and Governor Jerry Brown's budgetary address? And what do you think about some of the proposals that the governor is making in his budget?
Well, actually, this State of the State, it sounded like a budget speech in addition to his budget presentation. But I've been... except for the two big projects that the governor likes, that I don't, he has done a pretty good job of holding the reins on spending. The spending cap that they passed isn't exactly what I would have liked to see, but nonetheless, they're building up a much better reserve than we had last time headed into a recession. And, and as he states, if you look at the length of economic cycles, we're kind of due for a bit of a downturn, and the stock market behavior is making us wonder. So he's creating a bit of a cushion, and that's good.
Well, we're looking at 5.8% unemployment, and you know, I think that's what the governor is indicating with this budget. But you know, when you spend, you propose $170 billion, it's obvious, I think, that eventually that level of spending is not going to be able to maintain, you know, no matter how you forecast any type of economic growth.
No, that's true. And the $170 billion, by the way, I believe is the total budget, including special funds. But mm-hmm. nonetheless, that's a humongous amount of money. There's no doubt about that. And that's not sustainable through economic cycles. And so that's why the reserve that he pushes and the resistance that he has to spending that more liberal Democrats would like to do, he's a combination with the moderate Democrats and the Republicans. Hopefully we won't get into the kind of huge deficit situation we were looking at in 2008 and 2009.
And you, Roger Kneeler, joining us here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And Mr. Kneeler, Andrew and I have always talked about and you mentioned it right off the bat, how conservative Governor Brown has been on his spending. Yet we look at this $170 billion proposed budget that we have out there. Could we expect to see those numbers as businesses, and if the taxes do go down in the state and they're supposed to expire, are we going to see maybe in the next couple of years that being drastically cut from the 170 down to more realistic numbers?
Well, it will. That spending will go down certainly as the economy goes down, but it is a function of tax revenues. A governmental entity, but for reserves, will spend all the money that they bring in. That's almost by definition. And that's why setting up the reserves is so important. That $170 billion is, as I said, it's a humongous number. But the only thing that budget writers can do is either spend the money on programs, paying down debt, or setting up a reserve. And so it's really important that you do the latter two, and if the economy stayed as strong as it is, there wouldn't be much reason to vote to extend those temporary taxes, which is going to be on the ballot in November, and I'm certainly not going to support that. So mm-hmm. we'll have a lower level of taxation as those taxes expire.
Our big concern that we talk about on the show is exactly what you just talked about, sir, about the extension of Proposition 30 temporary taxes at the end of this year. And I don't think most Californians are following this as much as they should. As a result of a $170 billion spending plan, you know, eventually when those temporary taxes disappear, obviously that revenue is not going to be there. Of course, we understand that the reserve money is being designated for that inevitable drop in tax revenue. And one of the big things that we don't see, we're not hearing, maybe you can help us out, maybe you can point something out that we're not seeing, is we're not hearing anything on one of the issues you just brought up. We're not paying down the debt that California has, that great wall of debt that he advocated Proposition 30 temporary taxes to be passed for. We're not seeing that wall of debt come down. If anything, I would argue that we're seeing additional bonds being spent, which is going to add on to the existing debt of the state of California.
You're right. And the governor did bring that issue up, which is good. But the obligations, particularly the unfunded pension liability and retiree health benefits, in addition to other debts that we have to fund infrastructure and the like, that number is a significant number, number one. And number two, it really means that the budget is not balanced, because if there were current revenues being spent to cover the real liabilities that we're incurring in the future because of the present, we would have to divert quite a bit of that $170 billion from things that it's earmarked to those items. I would like to see a little bit more of that, but as long as they don't, you can't really say that budget's balanced.
You know, sir, thank you very much for validating what we say on this show all the time. You know, and it's frustrating because for as long as I've known you, sir, you've been advocating these points of view. And sometimes I just feel like we're talking till we're blue in the face. And, you know, we can only lead horses to water, as we say. And it's getting really, really frustrating because, you know, to use the backwoods term that was referred to us up here earlier on one of our programs this morning, you know, it's just as eventually we're us, all of us backwoods people up here, we're getting it. But all of these so-called educated elitists throughout California don't seem to be understanding it.
Well, there are a lot of other people that understand it, too. Of course, the folks that live in the area where you are pretty conservative, and conservatives think that way. there are moderate Democrats in the legislature that tend to think that way. Unfortunately, there's a really powerful, very liberal bloc of Democrats in the legislature that would spend every penny possible on their pet programs. That would not include debt, and it would not include reserves. So you keep making those noises, and I'll keep making those noises, and hopefully eventually we'll make some progress there. Because if we don't, potentially, you could be looking at bankruptcy.
Yeah, man, heaven forbid. But I have to tell you, one of the things that we're watching very closely, and maybe you can input on this. Well, some of the things that we're seeing that's happening in the southern part of the state, and pretty much everything's in the southern part of the state, you know, from where we are, is the interesting dynamic. It seems like the Democrats are lining up to fight each other, the Bay Area versus Los Angeles, especially in this U.S. Senate race with Loretta Sanchez versus Kamala Harris. And some of the problems that the leftists are having, that Bay Area liberal, as you put it, they're losing control over some of their social programs that they want to push because of the moderate, a.k.a. conservative, business-owning, business-friendly Democrats, mainly Latinos that are coming into the legislature, are beginning to resist.
Yeah, there's very interesting dynamics going on different levels. One is splits between the Black caucus and the Latino caucus on some issues, particularly education and affirmative action, notions of affirmative action, and North State versus South State, that is to say, San Francisco versus Los Angeles, moderate Democrats versus liberal Democrats. It is a fascinating, multi-dimensional conflict of political interests that's fun to watch, quite frankly.
Yes, it is. It's awesome to watch. And I have to tell you, sir, you know, one of the big things, I got to correct you on one thing, pardon me, but, you know, you're talking about from Central California to Southern California, because up here in the North, man, you know, we always got to remember, we got to point out that, you know, Central California is not Northern California, regardless of what Southern California likes. Don't forget about us up here.
That's why I kind of corrected myself after I said Northern. I said the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's not Northern California. Sacramento is almost Northern California.
All right. We're going to take a call real quick. We do have a caller on the line. Welcome to the 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. You're with Roger Neeler. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Violet.
I have a more important question than all this crap. What does he think about losing Lassen County to Jefferson State? I'd like to get an answer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't know if you caught that, Roger, but, you know, the state of Jefferson is a big issue that's starting to grow up here. I don't know if it's growing as big as some of the individuals that advocate it are portraying it. But, you know, the concern of Northern California, what do you think as far as maybe not just Lassen County? What do you think the progress is? Do you think that is ever going to happen? You think that California, Southern California, Central California, and that legislature in Sacramento would let that happen?
Well, first of all, I do believe in self-determination. And if that's what enough people there want to do, I think it deserves serious consideration. I'd also say, sort of a side thought, one thing that has occurred to me is if the state of Jefferson broke off and adopted economic development friendly, business friendly politics, policies, lower taxation, et cetera, it could be an interesting thing to see if it developed into a stronger economy than under the umbrella of the liberal policies of the state of California. I sort of muse about that a little bit. But to answer your practical question, I just don't see how it could happen because of all the hurdles that the proposal would have to go through. And I don't sense that there's any even consideration of it, let alone agreement by the part of the Democrats in the legislature.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be a huge hurdle for the advocates to get through for some of the reasons that you just mentioned. You know, we're lighting up the phone, sir. We're going to take a few calls. Thanks for joining the conversation. You are on the air with Roger Neeler. How are you doing today? What's on your mind?
I am dittoing, or I am agreeing with the previous caller. We need to go to the Jefferson State. And if Mr. Needle would do more research, he'd find out what is going on in the Jefferson State to get this going and to win.
All right.
Thank you.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Mr. Needle is very much aware. You know, he's been an advocate of the North State, which is why he's on our program from time to time. He's been a champion of representing our conservative rights for years. And I've got no problem with the thought of Mr. Needle understanding exactly what the issues are and what the deal is. You know, Mr. Needle, let's talk about this U.S. Senate race. One of the things that we've been kind of cautioning our listeners up here in Northern California is due to this open primary that we have in California about the possibility for the first time in our state's history, especially up here, we may only have two choices for the U.S. Senate race between Loretta Sanchez and Kamala Harris. And that's kind of, it's alarming. What do you think about that possibility?
Well, the political complexion of the state is and polls show it that it's not particularly likely that a Republican would win in any case. So come the day after the election, it probably doesn't make much difference from a partisan perspective, but it certainly does in terms of who gets elected, because in if primaries as they used to be, more than likely Kamala Harris would win because she's the more liberal of the two. And there's a bigger voting bloc in the Bay Area. There's less people, but more of them have a propensity to vote. The way this would more likely play out is the general election, as you point out, would be Sanchez versus Harris. And that could create a different result. I'm not saying it would be good, because I'd much rather see one of the Republicans there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had a senator who was less liberal than Barbara Boxer, that would be a marginal improvement.
It's going to be interesting to watch this race, Mr. Nilo, because, you know, I mean, we're seeing at the national level that most of the polling models and the political scientific models are starting to, well, they're getting shaken up. I'm not saying that they are broke yet, being shattered yet, but in California, that the same type of political models that we're accustomed to, I think, are going to be challenged between this Central California Bay Area versus the Latino movement in Southern California, and it is shaping up for a good fight. But the point is that, unfortunately, I'm very concerned that even up here in Northeastern California, we're going to have to choose between two Democrats, you know, when it comes to the general election this November, when it comes to our U.S. Senate as a result of open primaries.
You're right. You say that's you lament that lack of choice. I do every bit as much as you do, also. And so, I mean, there's lots of areas in the state that are decidedly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many as there as I'd like there to be, but all of those areas are concerned about the same thing that you're stating.
One of the things we're noticing on the national level, let's switch gears real quick, and we've been saying it for a little bit about how we're seeing just about every ideology up on that stage. You know, we have socialists, we got communists, we got liberals, progressives, we got conservatives, we've got libertarians, and it's interesting to see how open, you know, these candidates are with their political positions. What's more concerning is seeing how voters are lining up with some of these ideologies. And so, you know, I mean, once again, some of the political models are being challenged. What do you think? Who do you like? As you know, we don't vote until June out here. So regardless of who we like today, the question is whether or not that individual is going to be on our ballot this June.
Yeah, my concern is electability, and I have not endorsed any candidate, although generally governors tend to make better presidents than senators, and we have three governors in the race, but I do like Marco Rubio. I've followed his career a bit. I think he's been very good. My concern about Donald Trump is he's really not a conservative. He has ideas that concern me, such as eminent domain. He believes that it is appropriate for a governmental entity to take property that belongs to a private individual and condemn it and then sell it to another private individual for private development just merely because it generates more tax dollars. I think that's absolutely wrong. I think any conservative would think that that's absolutely wrong. There's other views that he's expressed that are certainly not conservative. So he is just a big question mark as to how he would govern. I haven't landed on one yet, but the whole process is being turned on its head this year. I mean, a year and a half ago, who would have said that it is possible that we could have Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders in the general
election? Wow. Last week, who would have thought that?
Hey, I'm championing for that. You know, one of the things I want to advocate is for all Republicans, since you really, I mean, this is a joke. Well, it might not be a joke. But every Republican in California, because of open primary, should vote for Bernie Sanders just to take the state of California from Hillary. I mean, go Bernie, as far as I'm concerned, on the Democrat side. You know, sir, as usual, we run short on time, and we really appreciate you when you come on and you give us your insight. Of course, you've got, I hate to use the word, years and years of experience. I don't want to imply something there.
And a lot of former titles, too.
A lot of former titles that indicate that experience. We appreciate you coming on and expressing that real quick. What are you doing these days? Anything exciting that you want to talk about? Let our listeners know if they want to follow you, your activities, what behind-the-scenes stuff that you are doing or in the forefront. What's happening with you these days down in Sacramento?
Well, I'm involved in a few things, some political, some economic development, like with the chamber, and some community. I'm on the executive committee of a new economic development organization. It was formed here in the Sacramento region called the Greater Sacramento Area Economic Development Council, and I've been sort of the lead in relationships with cities and counties from the board standpoint, and I am on the advisory board of the University of California Center in Sacramento. I'm on a community hospital board, and I'm on the political side. I'm the president of an organization called the Golden State Voter Participation Project, which is does targeted statewide Republican registration on behalf of the GOP. That's been a very interesting thing to get involved in.
Well, you know, the great thing about having former titles is that you can evolve into existing today's titles, future titles. And it's always great to talk to you, sir. And if anybody wants to get involved or contact you, what's the best way of going about doing that as far as actively maybe supporting some of your positions that you just mentioned here today?
Well, I have a website that isn't particularly active. It's from my political career, and it's very cleverly rogernilo.com. And I need to start posting a little bit more stuff there. But my email address is rwnilo@nilo.com. People could grab a hold of me that way.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us up here, and we're looking forward to future conversations with you as this year progresses.
Okay. Great to talk to you guys again. It's been a while. Look forward to the next time.
All right. Thank you very much. We've been discussing all kinds of issues with a good friend of our show, our first guest.
Ever since we started, yes.
Very first guest we ever had, Mr. Roger Nilo out of Sacramento, former state assemblyman, you know, president of the Metro Chamber of Commerce, and all those other new titles that he just mentioned.
I came up with GSEC, Greater Sacramento Area Community, he's involved in, but not a better guy for that down there. And something we've talked about, Republicans getting involved in primaries, and he's doing that down there in the Sacramento area. That's a very worthwhile cause, and it's probably very difficult for them down there as well.
Well, I'm excited about this. He validated a lot of the points that we bring up on the show, and folks, that was unscripted. I mean, that was just off the cuff, and that's just our experience within the same circles, picking up pieces of information and understanding what's happening in California, and that's all we try to do is try to bring it to you as far as what's really happening in the state of California and, of course, at the national level. And hopefully, folks, you can appreciate that and understand, you know, the difficulties it is as far as being in those loops. And I have to tell you, man, it's great to have guests like that. We didn't get into our numbers today, but we will get into them next week. And as the political season goes, Tim, and it's going to be an exciting time for the 503 Report. And let me tell you something, folks, make sure you go to iTunes to catch our show. You can subscribe to it, to the new listeners up and down California who are beginning to pick up our show. I always want to reiterate my thanks and appreciation for not only you subscribing to our show, but the input that you have been giving us week to week as you download and listen to our shows.
And absolutely, and it's free of charge as well.
Absolutely free of charge, folks. There is no subscription on the 503 Report, nor should there ever be. Okay, time for our favorite book. It comes from Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank all those men and women go to work, working the toughest beat of the state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California, can be safe, regardless of what the California Office of Inspector General reports about us.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE. Catch us on iTunes, podcasting there as well. And the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. And about 20 minutes after the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com and you can catch the show as well. Grab a cup of coffee, hot chocolate, or tea, whatever you want to drink in the morning, Saturdays at 7 on 1240 KSU, and Sunday at 7:30 before pre-programmed shows. Be back again next Friday. The Iowa caucuses are right around the corner. Once again, thanks to Roger Nilo for making this show a great one today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Until next Friday.
Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.
time.